Net, ek kan ook Afrikaans praat, ek is eindelijk Afrikaans, maar ons sal nou by Engels uitkom. Ja, maar het gaan net in Engels uitkom, so ons sal in Afrikaans begin, maar het gaan in Engels eindig. So kom ons bid saam. Father, we thank you for new things. We thank you that with you every day is a new day. Every day is a fresh day. Lord, your word declares that even when our bodies are getting older and is wasting away, yet our spirits jump out and see new things every day. So, Father, we pray that you would be with us even this morning. Pray for Mozzie, where he is resting, I presume. Pray that you'd bless him and refresh him. Also cause him to see new things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Tinus daar agter gaan vir ons prentjies maak. So as julle nie kan bywees nie, kyk om vir hom en nie vir my kyk nie. En dan, ek kan nie sien wat hy doen nie. Maar ek sien as wel 'n horlosie wat sê, is nou 9:26. So, ek weet nie wat dit beteken nie. Is lekker om by julle te wees. Koop, is lekker om onder jou teaching te sit. Jy is so enthousiasties en opgewonde. So, is lekker om dit te sien. So I want to share a message. There's two titles to it. The first one is Life Beyond Yourself. So let's just stand there, still there for a moment. We all have our lives, and those lives have certain boundaries or certain lines, certain areas where we find ourselves and where we can move and we can live. And those might be defined by our bank balance, they might be defined by our education, they might be defined by other areas, but our life is defined by these boundaries. So, if we just look practically at finances, finances will determine the house in which I live. So, if I have no income, it might be a shack. If I am very wealthy, then I might live in a high-class suburb, and my house might be worth millions. That defines the area where I find myself. But I want to come to you this morning and say that you can actually live beyond yourself. You don't have to be defined and limited by these natural lines and boundaries and restrictions. And the only way that we can do that is if we live through and by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus comes in John 16 and he gives us promise. I don't know if the disciples heard this as a promise, but to us it's a promise. He says, but in fact it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. And if I do go away, then I will send him to be with you. Just imagine that for a moment. For a moment, the disciples are sitting there with Jesus. They don't have an understanding of the timeline and what is about to happen. And maybe they were having a meal. Maybe they were chatting. Don't know if they drank coffee. But they were just having this conversation, and Jesus just drops this on them. He says, listen guys, it's good for me, or good for you, that I go away. And their immediate thought is, no Jesus, what's wrong with you? The last 3 years have been good. We've been able to expand and grow and move and see things and experience things that we've never knew was possible. And now you say that you want to go away? And I'm pretty sure the next part they didn't even hear. But it's good that I go away, because then I'll send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you, and He will be with you forever. And today we look back and we see it as a promise. But maybe you find yourself in a space and Jesus says something. It's time to move, it's time to change, it's time to pursue this. And you're saying to Jesus, no Jesus, but I'm not sure if you get it. I'm comfortable here where I am. I'm happy with my life. Things are going well. Now you expect me to change and to do something different. But sometimes in that shift, in that move, incredible things happen. When God comes and He turns everything upside down. You see, He promised that He'll send the Holy Spirit to be with us. And now it's not just the 12 or the 70 or the 120 who get to experience Jesus, but all of us. So there's a church here. We have a number of people. I told some of the people earlier, I actually stopped at the other church on my way. I don't know why. I had my Google Maps on, but it took me there, and then I drove in circles for a while, and then I eventually realized that this might not be the place. There was no motorcycle standing outside, and I'm pretty sure you would have changed the name of the church at some point. But there's churches all over the world, and they all get to come together this morning, not just in a church building, but even in our personal time with God, we can connect with the Holy Spirit. We all have access to Him. And suddenly we get to live beyond the natural boundaries of our lives. So the second title of the message would be See, Dream, Speak. See, Dream, Speak. And I want to take you to a well-known passage in Joel chapter 2. You probably heard many messages on this. And it says, afterwards, in verse 28, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. And young men will see visions. So three words, prophecy, dreams, and visions. So I want to just quickly say, maybe someone has shared this with you earlier or before, but I love this thought. There's many different things we can say about this. But I love this thought that God comes to old people, old men, and He gives them the ability to dream. And He comes to younger men and He gives them the ability to see. So we had our daughter's 21st birthday yesterday. She's actually turning 21 tomorrow, but yesterday was the party. And we had it at our house. So the reason I'm moving a bit slower this morning is because for the last 2 days I was on my feet. We had to prepare the house and we had to get everything up. And I literally woke up this morning and my calves were sore. And I have no idea why that is. But it's probably because I was on my feet for 2 days. So this morning, I need to say to myself, I think I might be old. I turned 50 in 10 weeks. Technically, I'm still young for the next 10 weeks. But maybe I'm old. See, a couple of months ago, we went to our TCN conference. I don't know if Mozzie shared some of that with you guys. I know he was there. And we took some of our younger guys with. Now, with younger, I mean early 20s. And so we get there after them, and we get to this church. It's Maranatha Church in Kempton Park. And as I walk in, these guys are buzzing. They are excited. They say, did you see this? What if we do this? The one guy literally said to me the following. We've got a foyer that's the entrance, and then we have a coffee shop to the side and the church to this side, and the hall for the children is straight through. It's a concrete foundation or concrete roof, because the idea or the dream is to eventually build a second story onto that. So he comes to me and he says, what if we rip open this roof and we put glass in there and we create this incredible... I'm looking at him, are you crazy? If you get an idea how much that concrete roof cost, you know how much money we spend every year just to seal that thing so it doesn't leak, because the dream of building the second story hasn't happened yet. So now we've got to pay the bill to... And as I walked into the church, I had this thing in the past. This morning I was better. I walked in and I immediately saw the guys had a new sound desk. So great, happy for you guys. The sound sounded good this morning. I had this thing when I went to churches. I would look at their lighting. I would look at how they put their stuff together. I would listen to the sound. I would try and get into the sound desk and see all the technology and all the things that are available. And somewhere along the line, I got old. I stopped dreaming. I stopped looking for fresh new things and new ideas. What's happening in your life? When last did you dream? When last did you walk into your physical home and just dream about a new paint color or a new carpet? Maybe if you're braver, something more radical, locking down a wall, changing something. Or have you just become so used to life that you've actually stopped dreaming? And then God promises in Joel 2, what He will do is He will give dreams to older men. The ability to dream about new and exciting things. Let me tell you about the thing I did see when I walked in. And I need to tell you, they had a fancy LCD wall when you walked in. I didn't even see that. I'm not interested in that. Walked past it. I had to go to the younger guys 2 days later and say, sorry. Sorry that I couldn't see your dreams or embrace your dreams and dream with you. You know what I did see? I don't know. Who packs the chairs here? Who straightens the chairs? Madeleine, is it you? Is it you? I've got something beautiful for you. No one else would understand this. I actually walked in and there was a chair that skewed and I twisted it. Just out of habit, I corrected it. So the most problematic thing in a church is to keep the chair straight. Because it goes and then 3 weeks later it's chaos. You know what they have in Maranatha Church? They literally have a piece of angle iron that they've bolted to the floor and they've bolted the chairs to that. Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, it only rocked my world and Madeleine's world because we're the only people that are... Yeah, OCD. Maybe. You see, older men have the ability to see with different eyes, to plan, to have vision, to have strategy. Younger men don't have that. Younger men just have dreams. They want to rip open a roof and put in skylights. No idea if the construction will fall down if we do that, but they don't care. They just dream these radical dreams. And then the older men come and they say, but no, that's not going to work. We've tried that before. How many times have we said this to people in church? They come up with this brand new earth-shaking idea. They have a fresh dream. Maybe it comes from the young people. And they say, what if we try this? What if we do this? Now, we tried that 37 and a half years ago, and you know, it didn't really go as we thought it would go. Not sure if that will work. You see, younger people naturally have the ability to dream, but they don't have the ability to strategize, to put it together, to put the angle iron on the ground to keep the chairs straight. They can't do that, but they can dream about exciting things. What does God do? He comes to the young people and He says, I'm going to give you the ability to see visions. And I'm going to come to the older people and give them the ability to dream because they've lost that. So that's the one side of that. The other side is if we can get the younger people and the older people just to work together. If we can get the dreams and the vision and the strategy just to work together, we'll go places. Okay. So what do you see? What do you see? One of the things, one of the lines that came out from the TCN conference, I remember it now, is that one speaker said, what do you see when you close your eyes and open your heart? What do you see when you close your eyes and you open your heart? What do you dream about? What do you dream about? About church, but also about your personal life. What do you dream about and what do you see? You see, what you see and what you dream is revealed by what you say. What comes out of your mouth will be what is in your heart. Put another way, the prophecy that God promises in Joel 2 is directly linked to the vision and the dreams. If you can't hear God, if you can't see God, the things that will come out of your mouth will unfortunately not be the good things or the right things. So let's go back to the Old Testament. The spies go out. Oh, sorry, before that, I've got another scripture. Luke 6, 45. Good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So let me throw this in here. Most of us, when we read statements like this, we try the following. We try to change the way that we speak. But you can never change the way that you speak, because what you speak will always come from your heart. What you need to change is your heart. You need to change the way that you see. You need to change the way that you dream. It's got to change internally. And then the words will just come naturally. And for a season and for a time, you might be able to force yourself to say, well, South Africa will not really go downhill that fast. Maybe I'll survive. But sooner or later, something happens. Sooner or later, there's a taxi. And what's in the heart will automatically just come out. But if I can change what's inside, then I will be able to speak what God says and what I'm supposed to speak. So in Numbers 13, Moses sends out 12 spies. Listen to what he says. He says, go through the Negev and into the hill country and see, go and see what the land is like. Whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. The instruction continues. He says, what kind of people live there? Is the land good or is the land bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled? Are they fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile soil? Are there trees? Do your best to bring back some fruit from the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. And we all know the story. We all know the picture from Children's Church about these two men having a stick shoulder to shoulder, and underneath there's the bunch of grapes. You know what? I actually had to just go look it up again. I just wanted to make sure. Does the Bible really say that's what happened? And you can go look it up. Numbers 13. It literally said they cut down one cluster of grapes. Een tros drywe. And two men had to carry it between them. So grapes for me is this size. That's a nice big. Even if it's this size, one guy can still carry it. So what size was that thing? See what the land is like. Then I come back in verse 27. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you send us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. See, look at it. This is a representation of the milk and honey of that country. This one cluster of grapes carried between two men. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Giants, big people, strong people. And they begin to struggle with what they see. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. You see, what's happening at this moment is what is in Caleb's heart is just coming out. He's sitting in a conversation and everyone is disagreeing with him. Everyone in the conversation is saying, no, we're not going to make it. Inflation, petrol price, the politics of this country, everything is just going downhill. And Caleb stands up and he says, no, we can do this. It just naturally comes out from within him. What's the difference? Please note here that Caleb does not say, listen guys, no, the walls are not that high. The giants are not that big. It's not what he's saying. He is agreeing 100% with the reports of the other 10 spies. It will be difficult. There's going to be some battles. There are some high walls. There are some fortified cities. There are some spaces where there's going to be a battle to take it in. He doesn't disagree with that. But he sees with different eyes. What he sees and what he dreams What God has placed in his heart is just naturally coming out of his mouth. It continues in verse 31. He says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we cannot attack these people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread amongst the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those who live in it. And all the people we saw there are of great size. Is that true? All the people that we saw are of great size. They saw one or two giants maybe. Maybe 10 giants. Maybe 100 giants. But surely not all the people in that country were giants. What they allowed is what they saw with their natural eyes to come and sit in their hearts. And that is what came out of their mouths. In Proverbs 29 verse 18 it says, where there is no vision, and the Amplified Version expands on this, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Where there is no vision, where there is no ability to see, when there is no God-given vision, no God-given dream, people will perish. Why? Because they will see the fortified cities. They will see the giants. And if you woke up like me in South Africa this morning, the southern point of Gauteng, we need God-given vision. We need God-given dreams. We need Joel 2:28 to happen for us today here. For God to give us visions and give us dreams through His Holy Spirit to speak truth to us. So that when we open our mouths, we will prophesy. The most basic definition of prophecy, as I understand it, is simply this. Hearing what God says and speaking it. It's an interesting verse where, I don't know if you're familiar with this verse, but Aaron is called Moses' prophet. Remember the story, burning bush? I can't speak, sorry. I'll send your brother to speak on your behalf. What happens? Moses actually hears from God. Aaron does not. Moses tells Aaron what to say, and then Aaron goes and he says it. And the Bible says that Aaron was Moses' prophet. What is a prophet? What does it mean to prophesy? It means to speak on behalf of someone else, to speak on behalf of God, to hear what God is saying, and then to go and speak that. But unless that is settled in your heart, eventually what is in your heart will come out. So we need a redemptive revelation from God. So the next time that we read about Caleb is about 45 years later. There's a picture I put up there of a desert. You can put that up for us. That was Caleb's view for 45 years. So firstly, for 40 years, he wandered with the Israelites and he saw everyone dying for 40 years. Then they crossed the Jordan and he has to wait another 40 years before he can take possession of the land that was promised to him. So for 45 years, this is what he sees. And then we read in Joshua 14. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved around or about the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out and to battle now as I was then. What did Caleb see for 45 years? Did he see the desert? Did he see people dying? Did he hear people complaining about God not providing for them? God not fulfilling his promises? Or did he for 45 years continue to see that which God planted within his heart? That God promised him this particular piece of land. And it is overflowing with milk and honey. And that God would provide that for him. So he says later on, now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and the cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. So very important. He's not denying what's happening. He's not living by self, some false supernatural, spiritual something. So guys, the reality is next week winter, the petrol price is going up. We can pray about it here. We can fast. We can do what we want. We can deny it by faith. But guess what? When you stop at the petrol station, that will be the price. But we can say, God, you placed us here. Surely you have a purpose and a desire for us to fulfill something here in this area where you've placed us. So no matter if there's giants, no matter if the city has large walls and is fortified, no matter if it's difficult, would you speak to us about what your purposes are? And then even if we have to wander around for 45 years holding on to that truth, we'll do that. Just think about this for a moment. How powerful, how real, how transformative must that moment have been when God spoke to Caleb and gave him a promise that he would carry that for 45 years. I've got another 35 years to go till I'm 85. And the way that I woke up this morning and moved this morning, I'm not sure if when I get to 85, I'll say, bring it on, bring the giants. That's what Caleb did. And the reason why he could do that is because he saw with different eyes and he dreamed what only God could make true. And then we say again, what we see and what we dream is revealed by what we say. We need to be transformed by God. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7. Listen to this. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. 120. And he still saw. He still saw what God was busy doing. Have you, like me, become old? And you only see the practical things. So if the petrol price goes up, that means we have to have one braai less a month. If we put in the angle irons, we bolt the chairs in, we make it work, we wing it. Or do we walk into a space and we explode with ideas, we dream? Kobus talked about walking into your place of work on Monday morning. How do you walk in there? How do you walk in tomorrow morning at the office? Do you explode with ideas? Do you dream? Are you excited about what God wants to do in you and through you in that space? Or if you become like the 10 other spies, now we'll just hang in there. Pension is around the corner. We'll just do what we have to do. We won't allow them to irritate us. We'll irritate them. So they leave us alone. We'll get there. When you meet with family and friends, how quickly do we fall into the ruts? Or are you like Caleb who say to the other 10 guys, no guys, you're missing it. You are missing it. God has poured out His Holy Spirit. He's given this incredible promise that if we are with Him, then He will give us His Spirit and His Spirit will be alongside us. That word advocate is the actual word for that is the parakletos. It's the one who is called to be alongside us. So just as Jesus walked with his disciples for 3 years, so the Holy Spirit wants to walk with you every single day and every moment of your life. You have access, just as the disciples had access to the fullness of God. And just as Jesus transformed their way of thinking and seeing so that eventually they would transform the world, so he wants to work in you and through you. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God can do more than you can even dream up. More than you can imagine. So in the prayer room earlier, they were sharing about the youth and what's happening with the youth, and the youth is growing. And I just sensed the excitement, and that's wonderful. I could have said to her, you know what? About 30-odd years ago, I also ran the youth group. And yes, there were moments when I was excited like you. But you know what? Young people move on, and they went off to college, and then the whole thing fell flat again. And 5 years later, we had to crank it up again, and we had to start again. And or I can just sit there and say, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. I'll dream with her. I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but that doesn't matter. I'll dream with her. I allow God to allow me to see what He wants to do. Let's dream. Let's imagine. And then it says, but God can do more than we can imagine. This is a strange verse for me because I'm not quite sure if God understands what He's saying here. For me, imagine is a daydream. So she can sit here and she can dream about 300 young people filling this venue on what year? Friday nights, what do you have? She can dream that up. And then God comes and He says, but I am able to do even more than you are able to dream up. I am able. Ephesians 3 verse 16. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner man. That's what we need. We need God to come and strengthen us on the inside. So that when we look out on our lives, when I look at my marriage, when I look at my finances, when I look at my kids, yes, there are giants. Yes, there are fortified cities. Yes, there are battles that are going to be tough and heavy. But we can all have the spirit of Caleb. It said, in the midst of this, we want to dream. In the midst of this, we want to see. In the midst of this, we want to prophesy. We want to speak. So see, dream, speak. So how does this happen? It's 9:59 and I'm done. I don't know how it happens. I don't have 7 steps for you to write down. I can give you the first step maybe. And that is to say, God, would you pour out your Spirit in my life? Would you come and do that which only you can do? So maybe have a chat to our friend here afterwards and ask him how he learned to hear the voice of God. How did he, you're driving on a motorcycle. How is he able to drive on a motorcycle, concentrate, keep all the pedals going, and still listen and hear God's voice? Maybe he'll tell you a story of when he was younger and when he was filled with the Spirit and God began to move in his life and he began to journey with God. You see, all of us want these kinds of stories. But none of us are prepared to start at the beginning. None of us are prepared to say, God, I want a journey with you. Would you come and teach me? Would you allow me to hear small things? Here's a strange thought. And normally I don't advocate this, but it's just an idea. Let me disqualify this, because sometimes we can go off the rails a bit when we do things like this. But what if tomorrow morning you stand up and you say, God, what would you like me to wear? Would you speak to me just about something as simple as that? Now, please don't go off the rails and do that every morning, okay? Because that's not the point. But how about you begin to involve God in your everyday life? God, should I buy this car or should I not buy this car? Should I move? Should I change my job? Those are the bigger decisions. But maybe before you get to that, ask him whether you should wear long pants to church or shorts or whatever is right for today. And how about you make a commitment to God? God, I want to learn to hear your voice. I want to learn to hear your voice so that when these moments come, I know how to recognize your voice. Because here's the catch. I'm pretty convinced God would have spoken anyway, because that's who He is. Catch is, if I am able to hear His voice, if I have trained myself. What if we go out from this place and we say to God, God, would you begin to teach us to see with different eyes? I had someone years ago tell this story. It was probably about 10 or 20 years ago, also when the oil price was above $100, and he walked in. It was an American, actually a South African who moved to America, and he came in and he said, he is so excited about this oil price. And everyone thought, you're crazy. What's wrong with you? And then he explained to us that he has shares in the oil company. See how that changes your perspective? What if we can say to God, God, would you begin to show us different things? That in the midst of a difficult space, in the midst of a dark season, not just in South Africa, but across the world, we can see what God is seeing. So we have a limited contact, not very much, with some of the guys in the Ukraine. So we literally, at some stage, there's a church just outside of Kiev that we have some relationship with, and we were able to send them some money. Even that was a problem, just to get money to them. It's not that easy. It was not that easy. They literally, their church was just outside an airfield just outside of Kiev. Remember in the early days when the Russians were advancing on Kiev? They literally changed their church into a space where they fed the soldiers. And they said the following, God called us to this place and we will stay here. I'm not sure if I would have said that. There's a story of someone also I know through a colleague. And he said, we're going to leave. And they packed up their stuff and they left. And as they approached the border, they got news that the house was hit with a rocket or a missile. There's nothing left of the house. So here's the catch. The one guy stayed, and the one guy left. And sometimes in life, and sometimes in South Africa, we tend to reduce it just to A or B. Do we go or do we stay? Or maybe it's a bit more complex. Maybe we need to hear what God says. So I told two stories. Both of them are conflicting. But both of them heard God. And if we can hear God, and if we can see God, And we can allow Him to transform us and strengthen us in the inner man so that we can dream and we can imagine, and then He can come and He can do much more than we can even dream or imagine. And here's the deal. God loves you. God cares about you. God is concerned about you. God gave His Son for you. God poured out the Holy Spirit to be with you. And now it becomes your responsibility to journey with Him, to grow and to learn. So it's exciting to be in a new place. 4 or 5 weeks. It's new. It's fresh. It's a name change. But what are we dreaming? Has the dream changed? Maybe the dream should not have changed, because maybe the dream was right all along. But maybe the dream should increase in your personal life, in your workspace, in your family. It's not good enough just to carry on. It's not good enough just to carry on. Let's pray together. Father, we want to start by confessing that the truth is we cannot always see what You are doing. We can see what the enemy is doing. We can read about wars, and we can read about inflation and petrol prices and chaos across the world and supply chains and whatever else. We can see that. Father, sometimes what we see around us causes us to stop dreaming. God, You have such incredible things in store for us. Father, every single person sitting here this morning, You dream about them. You dream about them more than we can dream about ourselves. Our wildest daydreams is nothing compared to what You dreamed when You formed us in our mother's womb, when You knitted us together. Father, would You come with a broom, in a sense, and just sweep clean the cobwebs, the cataracts on our eyes. It's made our eyes dull. Father, would You cause us to see? Lord, we don't want to deny the reality of the place that we are living in, and our family and our workspace and our marriage and our finances. It's difficult. It's tough. But God, in the midst of that, would You cause us to see above that? Lord, we are reminded of the psalm that says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Lord, we lift up our eyes above the circumstances on the ground. We lift up our eyes to You. That is where our help comes from. God, I want to pray that You would pour out Your Spirit. Pour out Your Spirit so that we can prophesy, so that we can speak what You are saying. Pour out Your Spirit so that we can dream dreams. Pour out Your Spirit so that we can see vision and strategy and the next step of how to get there. Father, would You come and do that which is not natural? Would You cause the young people to have vision and strategy? And would You cause the old people to dream crazy dreams? Would You bring the old people and the young people together? Would You knit their hearts? God, I pray that You'd knit the hearts of parents and children. When kids come to You with their incredibly crazy dreams, don't just shoot them down. Father, give us the grace to speak into those dreams, to see them come true. We pray for our young people, Lord, as they embark on their lives. You'd fill them with not just dreams, but with strategy. God, I pray for every older person God, would you give us fresh eyes? Lord, practically, when we walk into our house, would you give us fresh eyes to see what can be different, what can be improved? May that be a small start for us to dream bigger and bigger and bigger. I just have a sense that there's maybe a couple of older people, and not just to joke or to look down, but to say that maybe you've just been holding on for that day when you are finished at work and you can just go sit and relax. I want to challenge you. Maybe God has got some other things for you. All the wealth of knowledge within you, maybe He wants to use that to invest in other people. Maybe you are tired, and maybe you're saying to me, I've had my innings. No, you've not. Caleb was 85 years old when he took on the giants. Moses was 120 years old when his eyes were still fresh and he could still see what God is doing. And I want to declare over you, your season is not over. It's not done. Maybe there's a couple of you in your middle years, and you are beginning to plan. You are beginning to ask the questions, what do I do in 10 years or in 20 years from now, 15 years? Kids are moving out of the house. Things are changing. Things are shifting. May you see God. May you make decisions today that will position you 10 years from now and 15 years from now to do amazing things for God. And to the younger guys, oh, you have an incredible privilege. You have a privilege to make a decision now so that your whole life would be directed in the steps of God. We pray that you would hear God. Pray that there would be godly counsel around you to direct you. We pray that the naysayers will be kept away from you. We pray that the old men who can dream will come alongside you and dream with you. So, Father, we declare your dream over this church. We declare your dream over this church. Lord, in the practical, the things that still need to get sorted out, and the decor and all those things. But more than that, we dream about what you want to do in the lives of people when they step into this building. And yes, naturally there are fresh things to see. There's a communion stand that wasn't here last week. But Father, so in the Spirit, may there be new things every week. May we see, may we dream, may our mouths declare the wonderful things that you have installed for us. Lord, I bless this church, bless this group. We again bless Mozzie. Bless them with fresh vision. May they come back inspired to serve and to lead this church to the dreams that you have for them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. It's always a privilege to be with you guys. Enjoy your Sunday afternoon.